Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like TV and entertainment. Alex, a quick question. The Golden Globes were Sunday. Now, with the Academy Awards, and to some respect, the Golden Globes, when a movie wins, it usually means a spike in business. People see it's winning awards. They go to see the movie. Does that translate to television?
That's an interesting question. I think it certainly does, and I can say based on the fact that the Kominsky Method took home a bunch of awards, the Golden Globes for Netflix, and everybody was tweeting, wait, what's the Kominsky Method now? What is the show?
Yeah.
Certainly that's going to drive a lot of interest there. Now, we don't get stats necessarily back from Netflix. They're very secretive about that stuff. But just given the fact that it raised the profile of that show exponentially, I'm sure more people watched it.
Interesting. All right.
I never heard of it. I really didn't.
I keep seeing clips for it. And Alex, you tell us, because I honestly don't know. The clips don't make the show look very good, but people who do watch the show tend to like it. Where do you stand on it?
Our critics who saw it over here at Decider liked it fine. It's nothing that's going to blow your mind, but it's Michael Douglas, it's Alan Arkin, they're both very good. And, you know, they're older actors that are very much still at the top of their game. It's from Chuck Lorre, and he's pretty reliable behind the scenes, so it's a solid show. Everybody was surprised that it won that many Golden Globes. There are much better shows out there, but it's definitely not a waste of your time.
All right, that's fair. Please start out with a show called The Passage. I've been seeing clips for this for the last couple of weeks. It looks like it's right up my alley, but I know you're going to tell me some bad news.
Well, it's not totally bad news. It comes to Fox on Monday at 9 p.m. It's based on a best-selling book series. There are a lot of insane twists and turns that happen in the book. The first episode, at least, is much slower than that. It takes place in a world where vampire-ish creatures sort of exist. It stars Mark Paul Gosselaar from Saved by the Bell. He's been in a bunch of stuff since, but I think he'll always be identified with that.
Yeah.
As the hero of the story, he's an agent working for the secret government agency that's experimenting with a vampire virus, and he essentially kidnaps a young girl in order to bring her back to this organization so they can experiment on her and make some different choices along the way. Now, I did not love the pilot, to be perfectly honest with you, but the effects are very creepy, the vampires are crazy, and it's very, without spoiling too much, the people they experiment on before the little girl are some of the worst of the worst. So if white supremacist vampire is your jam, you might be into the show.
All right. Is the audience for this, is it Walking Dead fans, would you say? Who's the audience for this?
Lost fans, you know, Henry Arian Cusack, I was about to say Desmond from Lost, is one of the major actors. And if he shows up at a show, you know, there's going to be long-standing mysteries.
Yeah.
But also, if you like Manifest that debuted on NBC,
I love that show.
Yeah, it's going for the same sort of thing as that. It's like the new Lost, in a way, these second generations of shows who are playing off of that.
Can I tell you something about Manifest, and it irritates me? I think the acting is terrible. Mm. I really think they're just not very good actors. Mm-hmm. The brother, the sister, the wife. But I like the show, and I like the concept, and I keep watching it.
That's how I get you. You know, I think all of the actors on Manifest have probably been in better things and done better work elsewhere. But if the mystery gets you, the mystery gets you. And clearly Manifest has done a good job of that.
We've been looking for a new Lost since Lost went off the air. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I have a bunch of theories about that are probably too long for this radio program today. But the main thing I would say is I think mostly people took the wrong lessons from Lost, and the things that Lost was actually good at was creating deep emotional connections between the characters. That's why you had so many hugs and reunions and slow-mo songs on the beach. And that's what people really hooked into. That's what made that show work. Not the mysteries, not the expanded cast never being in the same place at the same time. While those latter things, I think, are the things that most shows have taken from it.
You know, the other thing that was so strong on Lost that other shows just can't seem to capture is those episodes where there's a backstory kind of interwoven with modern day. They were just great at that, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of shows have taken that as well, mixing the timelines. But it always, to me, feels a little derivative of Lost versus feeling like a central backstory in any particular way.
Yeah.
4, 8, 15.
The numbers.
16,
Wendy remembers the numbers. How about
42?
That?
I had to look them up.
How about that? All right. So let's go talk about the history of True Detective over on HBO. First season, incredibly good. Second season, not incredibly good. Third season, about to start. What will happen?
Well, I've seen the first couple of episodes of the next season of True Detective. It debuts Sunday night at 9 p.m. on HBO. It stars Mahershala Ali, excuse me, I always pronounce his name incorrectly, who you've probably seen in Moonlight. He's also in Green Book, which is currently in theaters and winning all those awards, as well as Stephen Dorff, Scoop Mary, Mamie Gummer, and a bunch of other people. The cast is phenomenal. It definitely, to me, my opinion, feels like a do-over for the mistakes of season two.
Oh.
There's a lot of themes and ideas and shots and things that are redone from the first season. So the way one of our reviewers, this is actually going up on the site shortly, Kayla Cobb put it, is she felt like if the first season of True Detective never existed, this season would be great.
Oh.
But comparing it, it's not quite as good. That said, Ali is superb in it.
Yeah,
so
he's a great actor.
For nothing else, check it out for his performance.
And for people who aren't familiar with the series, every season is an entirely new cast and a new storyline. So if you haven't seen seasons one and seasons two, you can certainly jump on at the very beginning of this one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say in particular, the first two episodes are directed by a guy named Jeremy Saulnier, who directed a movie called Green Room and a couple of other things. They're very well directed and very well acted. So if you're looking for something that's almost more of a character study than a true crime mystery, definitely worth checking out.
Alexander Zelbin's our guest, the managing editor over at Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then talk more TV with him next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. If you're a TV fan, that's the website for you, Decider.com. It's that simple. Alex, we've gotten several phone calls about a television show, and Wendy, it's one of your favorite shows, isn't it?
It's called Better Things, and it's on the FX network, and it's Pamela Adlon, who is the voiceover actress for Bobby Hill. And I love this show more than anything. I can't even remember how many seasons. I just know that I haven't seen it in a while, and listeners and I want to know if it's coming back.
Well, that's actually a very big question right now, because Louis C.K. was one of the co-creators and producers behind the scene. As many people probably know, he was embroiled in a pretty big Me Too scandal of his own. He's been doing some stand-up things here and there, but Pamela Adlon recently said behind the scenes that that is part of the holdup. She feels very conflicted about the series going forward, and it's completely her, from starring to creation to writing to everything. So you can definitely check out the first two seasons on FX Plus, which is FX's streaming service. But honestly, I don't know at this point if it will ever come back. We'll have to see.
Sorry, Wendy.
That and The Mick, two of my favorite shows with great, strong women actors, and Dunsky.
And That Girl also no longer on TV. Love That Girl. What about this? Netflix has a film starting, I think, today called The Last Laugh. Is it starting today, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
love the cast. Love the premise.
Just today, it stars Richard Dreyfuss and also Chevy Chase, Andy McDowell, Kate Micucci. I believe Chris Parnell is in it as well. And it's about a retired aging comedian who goes on one last stand-up tour. And based on the lineup and the title and everything, you can kind of get exactly what it is. According to our reviewers, Richard Dreyfuss is pretty good in it. Chevy Chase is late career Chevy Chase at this point. So if you're looking for something that isn't going to tax you too much tonight, that's definitely one to check out.
Which one of them, Chevy Chase or Richard Dreyfuss, plays the comic going on this last tour?
Oh, I believe Chevy Chase is the comic and Richard Dreyfuss is his manager.
Oh.
And wasn't Chevy just in the news that who was he complaining about? The current SNL cast?
Yeah, he said the show's not funny anymore.
Crotchety and terrible. Does he demonstrate some of that behavior in this?
I mean, he's kind of just sort of doing his thing at this point, showing up to set, reading the lines, and that's pretty much it.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. He was so good.
What happened, do you think, Alex? What's your theory? Because over the years, I've talked to so many people who have worked with him, and I always get the same story: never again. What do you hear?
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, that's been the thing all along. If you read any of the behind-the-scenes SNL stuff, he was always so sure of his own stardom and sure of his own genius.
Yeah.
And eventually, he just didn't keep up with the times. I think a lot of the comedians who do stay relevant actually have a little bit of unsurety about themselves.
Sure.
Do not think they're brilliant, so that they keep pushing and pushing and pushing and trying to learn. And that's just not what Chevy Chase did.
But he had such great success as Clark Griswold. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, that
Fletch.
Was... Yes. I mean, yeah. He was able to do wonderful things after SNL, and then I thought he'd do it forever.
He tanked most of his relationships. He spent a lot of time trashing people. He wasn't good to have on set. If you read any of the behind-the-scenes things on Community, he was a nightmare to work with to the point where they killed off his character. We recently published, over the holidays, an oral history of one of the Community Christmas episodes, and it was a stop-motion episode. They only had one shot of the cast that was live-action, and his character was supposed to be not wearing socks in the shot because he had broken his leg. And he just refused. So if you ever watch it, his stop motion figure doesn't actually match up to his live action figure just because Chevy Chase was a jerk about it.
You have been instrumental in, I always loved TV, but I got sick of it. I didn't know what to watch. And you had mentioned The Haunting of Hill House. Bill, you enjoyed that too.
Yeah.
And then Bill, you and Alexander said you guys are going to love that S Creek that's on
Eugene Levy's show.
With Catherine O'Hara, who is the most underrated, funniest person ever.
Mm-hmm.
That show is the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. I'm only on season one at the tail end, so I have lots of binging to do, and I'm looking so forward to it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that one is built, because it's on a smaller channel. It really flew under the radar for the first season or two, but it's felt like in the past season or so, it just kind of caught on fire. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you can stream it on Netflix, so you can go back and check out all the seasons. It's fantastic. It's a great cast, and I'm glad more people are watching it.
They use a lot of former SCTV and Second City people, and almost everybody in the cast, I think except Chris Elliott, is Canadian, but they just have built this great core of characters. That,
and his two kids are on it.
Yeah, both his son and daughter play roles on the show.
Oh,
Eugene
Levy's
love kids. Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah, really good show.
Thank you both of you for turning me on to that.
Of course, of course. What about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? We're going to get the last few episodes of that show. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, I love this show. It is the CW's musical romantic comedy, and it's entering its last couple of episodes starting tonight at 9 p.m. on the CW. Not to use the title, but it's crazy, it's funny, it's romantic, and it's the one show that over the course of, I think this is the fourth season, shown actual real character growth. It's gone from the titular crazy ex-girlfriend to let her grow and change and become a real person, and it's a very impressive feat, so I do hope people check out the last couple of episodes.
Gillian Anderson is back on television. That's good news, I think.
It's great news because this series is so much fun, but definitely not safe for work. It dropped on Netflix today. It's called Sex Education, and it actually co-stars Asa Butterfield, who people might know from the not-so-great Ender's Game movie, among other things, as the son of a sex therapist, who's Gillian Anderson, and he and a couple of his high school friends team up to form an underground sex therapy clinic. So there is a lot of sex talk. There is nudity in the show. Just be warned about that going right in. But it's very funny. It's very sweet. It's like a much sexier Wonder Years.
Oh. It's
all
about
right.
Time there was a sexier Wonder Years. Good, finally.
Everyone's talking about Lifetime surviving R. Kelly, which I have not seen yet. There's an encore presentation tonight. A marathon?
Yeah, it's running pretty much nonstop on Lifetime because it was an enormous hit, but it's also been an enormous cultural change as well. They've opened cases looking into R. Kelly. Lady Gaga, who did a single with him, came out and posted a statement about it yesterday saying the single that they had done together, she was pulling offline. So, it's a hard watch. If you're looking for something just relax with tonight, do not watch Surviving R. Kelly. But if you want to know more about this case and exactly what's going on, it's something that people have been talking about for years, and it's finally all out there.
And Alex, I don't even know if you're aware of this. I just saw this story this morning. There are some parallels to R. Kelly's case and Michael Jackson's case. So I kept thinking to myself, I wonder why we're not seeing a Michael Jackson version of this. Well, over in England, their Channel 4 put together a documentary called Leaving Neverland, and apparently that's going to air on HBO. Do you already know this?
I didn't know about it airing on HBO, and I think that is going to make an impact in a similar way. Certainly the R. Kelly thing seems more pressing because, not to be too grim about it, he's still alive and out there, and I think people want to warn people about him. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens to Michael Jackson's legacy after that airs here.
Doesn't this really prove, though, the power of television? These R. Kelly allegations have been going on for over a decade, and everyone was just not doing anything about it, and then all of a sudden, because of this TV show, everybody's jumping and doing something.
Yeah, you know, there's something very disposable about Twitter, despite the fact that there's been tons of Twitter threads and tons of tweets and tons of people talking about this. There's even been major articles about the R. Kelly thing that have been released and interviews that have been done, but it really was not until this that it felt like there was some sort of movement against him.
Yep, yep.
Do I waste my time on Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club on MTV?
I mean, you will be wasting your time, sure. You know, one of our writers, Leah, really enjoys reality shows like that. And she said it's not quite as good as a Vanderpump Rules, if you're into that. But it's not terrible. You know, it's fun. It's fine. It's what you think it is. And Lindsay Lohan doesn't show up that much, but it's a bunch of hot people carousing on the beach. So there
you
go.
What else do you want?
And I have a really quick tip for people who are clutterers like myself. Marie Kondo has a Netflix series that I binge watch. There's only, I think, 8 of them. And it's called Tidying Up. And that you can read about on Decider.com, too. It hopefully this weekend will have changed my life. I don't know yet.
Sure.
I have her book, but it's better to see it in action.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully it sparks your joy.
Alex, give me your thoughts on this. Sometimes when a show switches networks, it's not quite as good. It's like when a restaurant switches locations and you go there and you go, yeah, the lasagna is not as good as it used to be. I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine last night, and it was better than it used to be. How did that happen?
They just stuck with what they were doing, which was everything good. You know, they were pretty open about that. They said they're not looking to change anything. They're not trying to tweak anything going into the next season. It was already a hilariously funny show with an amazing cast. Just they kept on trucking with it, and I think they knew they needed to come out strong with the season premiere because of all the hype about it. So that probably helped add them up. And the great news is it actually worked in terms of the ratings.
Good.
Got its biggest ratings in 2 years for last night's episode.
You know, I always, there's a thing that I call 30 Rock Syndrome, and that's a sitcom that packs in so many jokes that you don't even absorb them upon first watching. You almost have to watch it a second time to get everything that's been thrown at you. That was how last night's Brooklyn Nine-Nine was.
Yeah, it's great. The writing is great. The performances are great. If you have never checked it out, I think, you know, there's light plots and stuff that goes on, but you can really jump in with this new season and be absolutely fine. And I'm just so glad more people are discovering it.
Me too. Me too. Alex, always fun to talk to you. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll check in 7 days.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank
Alexander
you.
Zelbin, he's the managing editor of Decider.com. Great stories about your favorite and your least favorite television shows.
News time right now, and this is brought to you. Oh, we're going to talk to Rick Steves about the travel show that he's going to be appearing at this weekend. And we've got a lot to talk to him about. We were supposed to talk to him yesterday, but he's coming up after the news.